Following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 51. I'm your host, Cradle.
And I'm Jason.
Both of us back behind the helm for the first time in a while. Today's record date is 11/18 of 2014, of course. So, Jay, what you been doing?
Well, honestly, I've been searching for a van. But other than that, I've been playing some MechWarrior Online. World of Tanks, and a little bit of SWTOR. Not like I should have, considering I laid out for Revan and pre-ordered and subbed up. Tell my wife, because... Anyway. And also, actually, for some reason, I have no idea why I did this. Maybe it was I got it in the email or something. I reloaded Eve onto my computer.
Ooh.
I know, right? What was I thinking? But, maybe it's because it works on Mac and PC or something. I have no idea why that even interests me, you know. But for some reason, I just reloaded it. I keep thinking that they're going to put some type of, you know, real awesome combat system in there. And you see all the videos that they produce. Those guys are like masters at producing videos.
Right.
But, you know, I see RSI and first-person shooter and, you know, their combat. And then I'm like, well, come on, Eve, you can do it. Just try. Because I don't have to pay $400 for a ship just so I can play an RSI.
Right.
But that being said, I've been playing a lot of MechWarrior Online because they had their challenge this past weekend from the 14th to the 16th. They had the Faction Challenge 3. And for some reason, logged in. I've been playing World of Tanks, and I guess I like first-person shooters that are not people. It's like machines.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like the thing to do. And I did fairly decently. Not so much in the heavy column, but I'm getting better with my light tactics and stuff. And I've been playing with a spider that I purchased. I got rid of my Raven, and the spider's been doing me pretty good. It doesn't hit for crap, but it annoys people, and it keeps them off the heavies long enough for them to get dead. So that's pretty much it. Like I said, I play World of Tanks a little bit. I suck at that game. If you play long enough, you progress up the levels. But I truly suck at that game. MechWarrior Online, I'm much better at. And a friend of mine, thank you, Doodoo, sent me a Thanksgiving present. He said, well, you know, it was really cheap and everything. So I got a package in the mail, and it was for Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I had a copy on PC, but because, you know, it had been taking up some space, and I've been, you know, I have space premium on PC. I saved everything, clouded it on Steam, and then took it off. So it's going to be interesting to play this with my son. I might just give it to him as a present and let him play it on his PS3 because I guess he's old enough. It's Pirates, right?
Right.
So I think he's old enough. Yeah, he's 11 and he's got a PS3. Yeah. So I think I might hook him up that and see if he likes it. What you been up to?
Well, as I've talked about a few episodes ago, the new PC is in and running. I'm actually on it right now. Still, every once in a while, oh yeah, I need that one here. So I'm still loading and installing little things that I forgot that I had on the old one. I have primarily been playing SWTOR. You know, like Jay, I resubbed and pre-ordered the Revan expansion, so I've been enjoying the times 12 XP for class missions. It's just been rocketing tunes up. So I've dabbled in a few things here and there, but I'm really, and I've played quite a few troopers, so I'm actually playing a trooper right now. And I went the commando? I can't even remember. The assault cannon.
Yeah.
Okay, commando. So I'm going the commando route, and I'm enjoying that. That's pretty fun. Like I said, with the 12 times XP boost, I pretty much just go to the next planet, run my class missions. I've got the XP to move on to another planet, so that's pretty fun.
Lines?
Do what? Sorry?
Have you finished any lines?
Any lines?
Yeah, any, like, storylines? Have you actually finished any lines?
I do some. If I get to a planet and I'm like right at the base level, then what I usually do is I grab all the quests in an area, but then I start heading for my class mission. And if those other quests are fairly easy to do, then I knock those out as well. I don't only do class missions because I don't think that'll give me enough XP. But I also don't go chasing after every quest giver on the planet. I have done some stuff, a few things here and there. Right now, I'm on Tatooine. No, I'm not on Tatooine. Sorry. I was playing my Jedi Sage. Can't even remember. Yeah, the Sage. trying to get back into the lingo. It's the Consular who becomes a Sage, which is the one-bladed lightsaber, essentially a wizard. And I was on Tatooine with her, so sorry. So my Commando, I'm actually about to hit Terrace. You know, the worst planet for the Republic, in my opinion.
Amen.
So I'm 18 or 19 already, so yeah, I'm just gonna blow through that one. get the crap off Terrace and move on.
Whatever it takes to get off Terrace, trust me.
Anything it takes. Also, I've mentioned and sent out a few tweets about this Dragon Age Inquisition. That one I've been waiting for a long time. As of today's record date, 11/18, the game went live at midnight last night, or early this morning, however you want to look at it. So Dragon Age Inquisition is loaded and ready to go. Now, I haven't played yet because we had the show tonight, and I knew once I'd get started, I'd be done. I wouldn't stop for nothing. I did get the digital version, of course. I buy all my games digital now. I never buy a disc. I don't know why. But yeah, I'll tell you why. Because just like Jay said, if I tire of the game or whatever and I want to delete it off the computer, it's there in the cloud. And I don't have to keep a box and a disc and a instruction manual with a 16-digit security key typed in it, you know. I store it on Steam, I store it on Amazon, and I just download it when I want to play it. That's why I buy everything digital. I spent a few extra bucks, got the collector's edition so I could get all the extra things that come with the game, the soundtrack, and a few, you know, weapons and armor pieces and everything. But so that is ready to go. We're going to talk about Dragon Age in the news a little bit more. But primarily SWTOR. I haven't even touched Team Fortress 2. So I'm slacking. All right, well, let's move on to news. Real quick, though, Jay, I do have a question. You loaded Eve.
Yes.
Does Eve have a free-to-play component yet, or is it still sub?
No, it's still sub, but they've got it down to where they let you have your first month for $10, which is, you know, $5 off, basically. And then if you can actually get in and play with any regularity, it's possible you may earn a Plex, which will give you 1 month free, but
yeah,
you got to play if you want to do that. So. But that also being said, they have giveaways a lot lately. I've noticed that they're having giveaways where you can get free game time. So, but the reason I loaded is because they've got that new new expansion starts with it.
I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, but it's supposed to have a lot of upgrades, some new fighter upgrades, and I haven't even played since they got the fighter aspect. And then they're supposed to have some new remapping and new. I was an explorer. I like going in wormholes and in exploration stuff. So if it's become more fun and less losing all of my drones, then I might actually check it out. It's still, I go into there and they blow up everything that I own, and I come out empty-handed and dejected, like I walk down and you know into the hood wearing a hey, steal my stuff. You know, then no, probably not gonna play.
Yeah, you know, there aren't too many sub games, strictly sub, out there. They're pretty diehard, the ones that are left, I guess. I guess they make the money to justify it to themselves and their fans, but whatever.
All right,
let's move on to news. Let's just go ahead and do this one, in keeping with the whole sub thing for MMOs. Final Fantasy XIV, which I have talked a lot about and have played quite a bit of, is giving a is doing a promotion of free 14 days. All you have to do is sign up, create an account, download the client, and you get 14 days of Final Fantasy 14. The stipulation being, of course, that your character cannot level past level 20. Now, it didn't really say in the blurb whether you'd be restricted to, only one trade skill or no trade skills, or maybe you can't access the auction house or anything like that. I don't know. But the game itself is an awesome little game. I highly recommend it. If you're looking for a new MMO to try out, check this one out. You know, it is a big, I think it's a pretty big game. I want to say 20, 21 gigs maybe, but, you know, download it, check it out, 14 days for free. Do what?
Is that all 21 gigs?
Dude, let me tell you about, you know, so I've talked about reloading stuff. In last week's episode where you weren't here, Jay, I talked about I reloaded Mass Effect 2 and 3 on my machine, man. Mass Effect 2, with all the DLC, is 42 gigs. And that's a single-player only game. 42 gigs. That is a monster. Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
There was so much downloading. Alrighty, let's see here. Let's move on. And of course, there's a link in the show notes for the Final Fantasy thing. In keeping with Dragon Age, which did launch today, as I said. Now, here's what is neat. Dragon Age is a BioWare game. You know, Mass Effect, KOTOR, SWOTOR, etc., etc., etc. And a common theme in BioWare games is, of course, and everyone busts on it or whatever, is a romance of your companions, if you want to, you don't have to. But what I like is that your saves from previous games carry over to the next one. And we've talked a lot about this, and if you're familiar with, especially Mass Effect, you know what I'm talking about. So decisions that you make in, let's just say, Dragon Age 1, Dragon Age Origins, maybe you let this person live, maybe you didn't. Maybe you, and it's not a spoiler because it's such an old game, maybe you fought the dragon at the end, maybe you negotiated with her to get the tome, the manual. You know, those all play a part in things that happen later on. So those decisions, as I said, carry over to Dragon Age 2, which all, and then you play through Dragon Age 2, you make all your little decisions, who you romance, who you don't. Did you save the miners? Did you leave the mystery of the disappearing miners, keep it a mystery? All those decisions carry over. Now, if you're like me, and you can't stand Dragon Age Origins, the original, and but you want the decisions made, BioWare has put out the Dragon Age Keep, and it's https dragonagekeep.com. You do have to have an Origin account,
yeah.
Which, you know, is EA's, EA BioWare. But it's a free account, but you log into the Keep, and it allows you to essentially click on little, it's called the tapestry, and it looks like a wall and various panels of a tapestry, or a quilt, if you will. You click on those little panels, and those are the major decision and plot points of the various games, and you choose what you wanted to do. Well, I guess I let this guy live, so you click on Let Him Live. And you're able to go through Dragon Age Origin, Dragon Age 2, and then you're able to import those into Dragon Age Inquisition as if you had played the previous two games.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. I like that. I do like that. Because, man, I'm sure as hell not going to play through Dragon Age Origins. It's a great game. It's a great story. Like I said, I wasn't a big fan. I'm probably the only Dragon Age fan out there who didn't like it. But, you know, think if you're a Mass Effect fan, they did this with the Genesis DLC. So I'm really happy that they're doing this. Now, what's also very cool about it is it's not set in stone. So let's say, now I've done my tapestry and I've imported it into Dragon Age Inquisition. I do a playthrough. Okay, well that's cool. Oh, I see how that affects now. Oh, that's great. Well, let's say I want to change that. Maybe I discovered what happened to the missing miners. Or maybe I killed the Templars instead of helping the mages. Well, I can go back to my tapestry, make those changes, import that new story into Dragon Age Inquisition, and do another playthrough with different things. I think that's really cool. Because with like Mass Effect, if you want all the DLC, you have to play the game. The Genesis DLC, the interactive comic book, doesn't take into account DLC, so you would have to do a playthrough with all the DLC and do the different, you know, make all the different choices and, you know, 40, 50 hours and bring that in with you. So I do like this. DragonAgeKeep.com, free origin account, and then you can implement all those saves and everything for free. I also want to say something. I was talking to one of the baristas at my local Starbucks, is a huge gamer as well, and we talk shop every time I come in. He's pre-ordered Dragon Age as well, which of course now is launched. And I was like, yeah, I think, you know, out of the box, I think it's supposed to have like 50 hours of gameplay, 60 hours maybe. Well, that's not right. BioWare has said, you know, the developer, that if you do everything in Dragon Age Inquisition, stories, quests, crafting, the collections, 150 hours out of the box. So that's no DLC, that's base game out of the box, 150 hours. That's a huge game. That is gigantic. Now, what I'm also hoping is, today's date, November 18th, we have Thanksgiving coming up. Steam always does a sale. Now, I don't think it's on Steam yet. You know, EA/Origin, they're pretty stingy with their games, but who knows? Maybe by Christmas, Dragon Age I will be on Steam, maybe for a little cheaper than the $60 that it's running right now. That's what I hope to see. Or who knows, maybe even when Origin.com, maybe they'll drop the price as well. But yeah, be sure to check that out. I will probably start play tomorrow, and I won't be seen for a couple weeks outside of my room.
Bye, Gray.
Yeah, right. So yeah, be sure to check that one out. Let's see here. I actually threw a little bit of DC Universe news in the show notes. That's probably the second time ever we've ever talked DCUO. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, wow, when I saw that you'd thrown that in there, I was like, wow, he's mentioning DC.
Well, you know, it's an expansion, so I guess. But yeah, today also they have, I believe it's their 12th expansion, and it's called War of Light, War of the Light Part 2. Now, the first War of the Light, I believe, is where they introduced Green Lantern abilities. This, they don't introduce a new power set, but this is dealing all with, if you're familiar with anything, with the Lantern Corps, with the Star Sapphire Corps. So, the power of love. Power of love. Right, Huey Lewis. The expansion has one four-player alert, as well as 4 and 8-player operations. There are also new skill points, items, base items, gear, feats, and collections for you to do, as well as questing on, and I cannot remember the name of the Star Sapphire's home planet. It starts with a Z. Zwardon?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it is. It's actually like Zwardon or Zward, something like that. So you weren't too far off. But yeah, that's available and live now if you're one of the hundreds of DCUO players. I don't know.
Nice quantifier.
Yeah, right. I guess it's still going. You know, it is a Sony online game, and it is part of the All Access Pass. So, hey, if you want to duke it out with Carol Ferris and the rest of the Star Sapphires, go for it. There it is.
She wants me.
She wants Hal Jordan. She wants Hal Jordan to pay.
She's been using him to get to me for years. It's
Alrighty, that'll about wrap up my little piece of news. Jay has some news that he's thrown in there. Go ahead and take it, man.
Alright, well, anybody who has a pad, when I'm by a pad, I'm talking about an iPad or a gamepad or a pad with a pad, you know what I mean, Surface, but we won't go there. you know that it's hard to play games on it. It just really is. And there's a lot of Bluetooth controllers out there that you could get. You know, some of them turn your phone or your little note or whatever into like a little portable shield or things like that. Well, I ran across something here while I was digging through the news, and I just like, no, it's too awesome to be true. They have little NES controllers that are Bluetooth controllers. And I'm talking about the original Super NES, the little boxy controller with A and B and then the D-pad on it. And it's basically a Bluetooth controller that you can hook to your pad. Or, you know, it even works with a PC if you've got a PC. It's just a standard Bluetooth controller. It's programmable. It is $29.99. And now hidden up on the sides, there's actually shoulder buttons as well. They hit those so that that doesn't look like a modern controller. But that allows you to play more modern games where you'll have an A, B, and then some button controllers. They've got a couple of extras there just for you. But it's rechargeable battery powered. It comes with a USB controller. And believe it or not, it comes with a stand in the box for your pad so that you can set it up sideways and use your hands to play on, you know, the actual NES controller. And it supports two-player, multiplayer. So there's a multiplayer mode, I'm guessing, for channels. Now, what's really cool about this, you know, is that it works with Wii's.
So really?
You can now hook, because a Wii's got a Bluetooth built into it. That's how it handles its controller. So you can now connect this to your Wii, or I'm guessing your Wii U. They didn't say anything about that, but it's possible, I guess. Yeah. And buy the original, you know, games that you used to play on the Wii Store, which many, many, many of them are capable now. You can get the old Contra, you know, D-Type, the old sports games like wrestling and volleyball and stuff like that. Put them on your Wii and use this controller to work it, so you've officially transported yourself back into nostalgia. I used it. That's right. So it's at Stack Social, and it's $29.99, and truthfully speaking, that's not that much. Most people pay that for that's half the price of a PS4 controller.
Exactly.
And honestly, it's worth it. It even comes in a cool box. You get like a cool keychain and some other stuff with it when you purchase it. So I just thought it was really awesome. And you know me, I'm all about the retro games. So.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, that's just first little bit of news out there. I thought maybe people might check that out. We're going to include this in the show notes for all of you who listen to the show and who love to send in stuff about the headphones. So, speaking of SWOTOR that we were talking about earlier, are you ready for Revan? Now, I was originally going to put this on here and give it to Gray to talk about, but I couldn't let it go. So, apparently, SWOTORstrategies.com has a listing at the top, and they basically reference another page, which is MassivelyJoystick.com, and it's their October 7th thing on Hyperspace Beacon. Hyperspace Beacon 8, I believe is the name of it, or something like that. And basically, they're talking about the 10 things that you should do, the 10 quests that you should do prior to the Revan expansion coming out. And since it's going to drop fairly soon here, we need to get these done. Now, what freaked me out is I was reading the story, and even though I've been playing SWOTOR for a long time and I'm an altaholic, so I have a buttload of alts, and I've never finished a storyline, which is what I was asking you earlier. So, They just went and spoiled the crap out of it right in the write-up. I was like, what? No. So I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but before you read this on our show notes and go to their site and attempt to do it, understand that they expect that you've already finished some of your storylines. So you're going to get some... You're going to get some interesting stuff in here that they talk about. So, but these are supposedly the 10 quests that you need to finish prior to Revan coming up. And some of these I've done.
The
Revanite outline quest line, we did that. You know, that's where you get the Revanite on Drummond Cost, where you get the Revanite title.
Yep.
And then the Terrell 5 apparently is a Republic. And it's a droid. I didn't do this one, and I was kind of hoping I would, but I never did. It's the Terrell 5. You speak to an MP-77 droid to get it, and that one's actually really important too, because apparently this guy's the same species as a Yoda, whatever that is, Master Oteg, and that quest line eventually takes you to what's really, really important about Revan. So then you've got the Maelstrom Prison. Which is it says continues Terrell 5, which is why I didn't know about it. And then Boarding Party, which I have actually played Boarding Party, I believe. But this says it's part of the Maelstrom Prison, so maybe I got shared by a friend while I was playing. So, but I do remember the Boarding Party. They were talking about it with a group that I used to play with. The Foundry, is that the one? Is that the one where? No. Okay, that's a different one. Anyway, The Foundry, Forged Alliance, and Jedi Knight and Sith Warrior Stories. So they talk about those right there. Anyway, that being said, I was looking at the series and I was like, oh, I wonder if I played these, and it just spoiled the crap out of the game line. So now I'm like, oh man, I didn't know that was coming. So if you're getting ready for the Revan timeline, and you really want to have these quests completed because they know something I don't. Did you read this full article, Gray?
I'm just kind of skipping bits and pieces because, like you say, it's especially the Jedi Knight Sith Warrior story section. If you haven't finished those, it is spoiler heavy.
It is, and then right there at the end, oh my god, once you get down to the very end, I was like, no! So, anyway, so plus 12 on our XP boost. Y'all go ahead and sub up and just handle this, okay? Because I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But these are supposedly the quests that you wanted to finish prior to the Revan expansion coming out, which to me, you know, I'm a completionist, and so I know I'll never get this far.
Right.
But I do want to tell everybody else about it. I felt it was my duty to bring this forward to everybody. Hey, you know, there's just somebody wrote a story out here on which ones you need to finish, just in case you're one of those people who kind of just skims through everything on your plus 12 bonus and goes planet to planet. So finish these up. There you go.
And I have one thing on that. Okay. Also, it's not part of SWTOR, but there is a novel out called Revan. And it's a lot of information about Revan himself, so I recommend that. It's a good read.
You think that's what they used as canon in BioWare whenever they were doing it?
I think so, because... I'll tell you why. Because if you look at the cover of the novel, it actually has Star Wars The Old Republic. It has the logo on the front. So maybe not Star Wars canon, but it is SWTOR canon.
That's cool. I like that. Because that's the problem with Star Wars. It became so much like Star Trek, where there were so many different things to pull from. It got diluted. The storyline got diluted.
Not anymore.
Exactly.
Right? Disney.
I know, really. I mean, you know, besides the British companies like Games Workshop, they rule with an iron fist over their stuff. So all right, so let me go ahead and move along. For those of you who are Final Fantasy people, I don't know of any in this particular room, but if you like Final Fantasy, especially Final Fantasy VII, and you just love Little Big Planet, you should smash those together and have a baby. Little Big Planet got Final Fantasy's, somebody who just, I mean, absolutely adored Final Fantasy, took all the time in the world to create the Final Fantasy storyline that you always wanted using the Little Big Planet engine on the PS3/PS4, and it's PS3 version, but apparently, I looked at just the first 15-minute video, and if you subscribe, apparently there's over 100 videos that do the entire Final Fantasy VII storyline. And I was like, whoa. So, did you actually watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of the first one, of the first 15 minutes. I haven't. I haven't even
awesome
thought to tackle.
People, though?
It is. And even, you know, I don't know what they're called, but like your little character.
Yeah, the
I mean, he
person.
Even looks like.
Cloud.
What's his name?
I thought it was Cloud, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is it Cloud? It is Cloud.
I thought it was. It was Cloud, yeah.
Yeah, he's even got the spiky, swoopy hair. Yeah, and the big old sword. Yep.
He's so anime. I was like, wow, this has been a long time. Because my son plays this. My son is one of those people who enjoys, you know, Spore and Little Big Planet and Minecraft. He likes building things. It's just what he did. I mean, he's got a ton of Legos. So he loves Little Big Planet. So I'm kind of a nerd on what it takes to build stuff. And when I saw the scope and the scale of what this person did, I can't imagine the hours. I mean, I'm guessing this guy was in a car accident and he's horribly mutilated and can't leave his seat.
Right.
There's no other way that you would import the hours, other than being a design studio, Did you import the time it would take to do this? Because he's got the music in the background. He's got the bubble, the pop-ups, because the characters don't talk. There's no voiceovers. He's got pop-ups, just as if you were watching a dubbed anime, and it's awesome. So I just wanted everyone to see that, especially the Final Fantasy people. It's a video game, and I'm under the impression that if he's done all this creation, he probably has it stored somewhere where you can go watch it, is what I'm guessing. Or it may just exist only on video that he's done it. But I know Little Big Planet, you know, you can create levels. I'm wondering if he's using his movie talent just to create this cutscenes, you know, as a playable cutscene, or as a watchable cutscene.
So right.
That would be awesome. And if it is, that's his resume into the world of, you know, gaming. Someone should say that. Hey, I want to give you a job.
Right.
Because that was awesome.
I bet he has a... It's YouTube stuff, right?
Yeah, he's got a subscriber channel for it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Who knows? He might have it all. I can't imagine though, if it's the whole game or the main story plots. Man, I can't imagine that would be a single video, because Final Fantasy VII is huge.
And that's, I was just like, oh. Because the write-up on Joystick was like, hey, you know, are you mad because they won't redo Final Fantasy VII for your favorite, you know, platform? And I was like, yeah, actually I am. And I said, that's okay, they did it on Little Big Planet. And I was like, no, they did not.
Right.
Wow, so there you go. Now they're going to replace Chocobo Racing with karting, I'm sure.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting. Again, is this, you know, game-shattering gaming news? No, but I just got to bring you that little dark corner of you got to see this right here. And there you go. So that being said, I can't let go without sharing with everyone what happened this weekend. Like I said, the MechWarrior Faction Challenge happened. And I didn't mention in the beginning that they've made some kind of drastic changes to MechWarrior, and I say drastic. They've cut up the MechWarrior inner sphere to where it's supposed to be when the clan invasion happened. And what they have a map. I mean, it's really a lot like Eve, where if you zoom in, the planets start to actually, like, at first it just looks like a, you know, this, here's the inner sphere, here's the part that's owned by House Leo, Steiner, Karita, you know, Rasahate Republic, you know, they've got all the different colors there. And you're like, okay, and you zoom in and then you see the capital planets, and you zoom in a little bit more and the capital planets get closer, and then now there's all this, the stellar bodies close by, and then if you zoom in more, you start seeing individual planets. So it's really a huge map, and they're going to start doing how far the clan's invading and where you're, apparently, where your faction's based, because now they have actual groups that you can form, not just like the clan loose clan base. We're talking about like tight groups that fight together, lances. So that being said, that is now one of your options. You have a clan and a lance now in the clan being your company, you know.
Right.
And so I created that for the Rasahate Republic, and you know, being the Nordic that I am, I call them the Almighty Johnsons. So there you go. And if you don't know who that is, you're not watching the Sci-Fi Channel. But that being said, I created a group, and I participated in the faction challenge, and it only listed the first 15, so I wasn't up there. I'm sure I was number 16, but I wasn't listed in the top, so there you go. But there's some really cool mechs that they have now. One of the other changes that they made is that all champion mechs now are 30% XP bonus. It used to only be 10%, and I was like, you know, why bother buying a champion? They boosted that. It's now 30% XP bonus on all. And that's, I don't know, have you played a lot of MechWarrior? Do you understand what the XP is there for?
I haven't played a lot of MechWarrior online, and I don't understand what that XP boost is for, except for pay to win.
No. Yes and no. The money that the C-bills that you earn, that's pay to win. The experience bonus is, like, let's say you like, just pick a mech. What's your favorite kind of mech? Intersphere, just give me any one.
Catapult.
Catapult, okay. Catapult has, I think, 5 variants or 4 variants?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in one of them is a hero, right?
Okay.
You probably have a champion. So, the heroes, you can only get through pay, like you said. And then the champion, you can probably either pay for it or get it through C-bills. And sometimes they'll let you get a hero through C-bills every once in a while, you know. But what's important with the XP is You know how some people get used to using a mech over and over and over? They use the same mech over and over and they get really good with it. But what they've decided to do is, in a mech, in a specific mech, like the variant that you have, let's call it the 1D, you know, the catapult that's only missile boat. It's just an LRM missile boat, right?
Sure.
So you play the crap out of that thing. And I mean, you play it week in, week out. You earn so much XP, no matter, even if you win or lose, inside that missile boat. Once you can actually go inside your pilot's skill tree, and you can make it where he can run 10% hotter than most people. Mm-hmm. He can stop on a dime, like it stops immediately. He has 30% run speed over everybody else. And you get these perks, let's just call them perks, in that variant, right? And they're basic perks. Once you've maxed out your basic perks in a variant, if you buy the other variant and max out those perks, let's say there's five variants, if you max out all four variants on the fifth one, and not just on that one, but on all of them, you can now move up to what they call the elite skill tree. And that gives you the option to do some really amazing things like flush coolant and stuff like that, you know, where like you're overheating, you can flush your coolant and bam, all of a sudden all of your heat sinks are good. So what happens is you have to maximize your ability to, they want you, obviously, it's a money sink without a doubt, but they want you to play all the variants. And once you've played all the variants, then you leveled up in that type and you can now get a whole bunch of bonuses you couldn't get before. And it's not pay to win, it's actually play to win. So that being said, that's what the champion mechs are for. You get 30% XP if you get a champion mech each time you play that. You get 30% XP, so you get those XP points in that variant built up.
And like the champion mechs or whatever, they come fully decked out. They're not just an empty chassis.
Oh no, all of them. Yeah, okay. All of them come fully decked out. They don't sell just empty chassis on any of them, but any one of them, like you can buy any one of them, Hero Mech included. Strip whatever's in it and put something else in it.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the one you put in the show notes, the Hellsinger.
Oh, the Hellslinger, yes. That's
Hellslinger.
Awesome.
Slinger.
Yeah, that's the new Battlemaster that just came out. I think that's a Hero Mech. So you get a bonus to C-bills and you get a bonus to XP both.
He's a monster.
But yeah, the Hellslinger is awesome. It's got PPCs on both arms. It's got three 2X, Streak SRMs.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, what else?
Four medium lasers.
Yeah, four medium lasers. And it's got 16 double heat sinks, I think. Yeah, 16 double heat sinks.
Great.
So, plus a wicked cool paint job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's a really awesome mech. It really is.
So, the streaks, are those the missiles that on tabletop, if they don't hit, then you didn't fire?
I thought that's what they were. Yeah, okay. I mean, tabletop. As far as this, I can't remember specifically why the streaks are better than the SRMs.
Or do the streaks always hit?
I remember that the streaks were direct fire. They're not arcing fire.
Oh.
Correctly.
Hmm. Yeah, I was just trying to figure out the video game, you know, conversion.
Conversion of streak. I wish I could tell you, actually. I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I probably should.
Just curious.
But that being said, the that's not what's dominating the battlefield anyway at the moment. Clan mechs are just slaughtering people.
Right.
Even the basic clan mechs. Because, you know, you get killed, one of the things you can do is spectate.
Yeah.
I just like spectating the clan mechs because I just watch their missiles fire faster, they're more accurate, and they run cooler, and I'm like, oh, we're going to die. But
disgusting.
That also said, we won quite a few of our rounds, so mm-hmm. Good.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. That's always the counterbalance to pay to win players. Just because they're in the awesome stuff doesn't mean they know how to use it.
Absolutely.
Right. Cool. Alrighty. I think that will about wrap us up for news. And as usual, I have nothing for geeky stuff, and Jay does.
But that's saying something, isn't it? That being said, Mutant Chronicles. I've talked about this game with you before, right?
Yeah.
I did like Mutant Chronicles. They talk about it here why I liked it, because Mutant Chronicles was a mix between like Warhammer 40K, you know, and I don't know how else to say it. I don't know. And here they say Shadowrun and Rifts. I'd buy the Shadowrun. I don't know if I'd really say Rifts, but Shadowrun, yeah. Because you've got magic, and you've got demons, and you've got technocracy, and then a little cyberpunk thrown in there too, you know, because you've got these huge megacorps. Well, I guess Shadowrun's the same thing. These huge megacorps. There's no such thing as a sovereign state anymore. Everything's these huge megacorps, which have taken on characteristics of some of those, you know, sovereign nations, like, you know, Russia, America, China, Japan.
Right.
So they're all out there. And there's what I really liked about this is that Paul Bonner is doing the art for this. And if you know anything about, I mean, he's like a modern Elmore.
Yeah.
You remember Elmore?
Oh, I'm a huge Elmore fan.
Yeah, that's my point. Paul Bonner's like a modern Elmore. His stuff has been making it into all the really big games that are out there now. Star Wars, let's see. I think he did some art for, obviously, the new Dungeons & Dragons, and I think he was doing some stuff for Warhammer, but I don't know that for a fact because I didn't get a chance to look into it. But he works in everything. I've seen just some of his sketches and daggum chalk, and it looked amazing. But I like his stuff in oil. I mean, not in oils, in water, because a lot of his water stuff, just the fadings and everything, look really awesome. And all you got to do is dig through here. We'll put a show note in here. Anyway, they're coming out with a third edition, is what that all boils down to. There's coming out a third edition of Mutant Chronicles, which hasn't been around since the late 90s, I think. And I think Metaphius, how do you say that? Modiphius? It's a British publishing company, but Modiphius Entertainment is going to be doing it. I had originally heard that it was going to be Fantasy Flight, but apparently not.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I was like, Fantasy Flight? No, they're gonna own this game. So then I looked and it was Modiphius, and I'm kind of hoping that it's like a sub studio or something like that. But this game, it really was cool and it was unique. It just didn't jump off the ground. You know, it was one of those ones that was like Mutant Magic and Machine Guns, or you know what I mean? Some of those older games that you just didn't see a lot of, but people still liked them. This is one of those. So I really hope it comes back, and you should give it a shot. The game itself played really well. The original worked on it. It's kind of like the Exploding Dice Theory, you know?
With, yeah, right, like, right,
7C
right.
And stuff like that. But hopefully this will see some playtime. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it, and if they offer it over here to even halfway decent price, you know, less than $60, I'm probably going to get it. Because it was a pretty cool game. I even had the card game. They made a CCG for it. That was pretty
awesome. I do remember that.
So, but dig through the pictures, man. They're awesome.
I'm actually looking on DriveThruRPG, and Modiphius. It looks like their big thing they're doing right now is, of course, Mutant Chronicles, but also the Octomb Cthulhu. Have you seen any of that?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like Call of Cthulhu, but I think with World War II Germany. Something like that. Also, on DriveThruRPG currently, they have Mutant Chronicles 3rd Edition free open beta.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Yep, it's free. Let's see. I don't know. I'm trying to see what it actually gives you. It says it's a watermarked PDF. Oh, yeah, Doom Trooper from SNES, the Super Nintendo, Doom Trooper.
Oh, yeah, that was
a... That was a Mutant Chronicles based, yeah. Well, I'm looking here, and I can't see exactly what it gives you, but it does say watermarked PDF free open beta, so check that out.
That's a done deal. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
You got to understand that this was such a bad, awesome... When I say awesome, it was one of those awesomely horrible things. That was good, but done badly, like the Edsel, you know?
Yeah.
It sparked a movie called Mutant Chronicles, which is loosely based on it. And if you know which movie I'm talking about, you're like, this should have been a good movie. But it was much like the video game and much like the RPG. It just didn't hit its mark. It's got freaking Tom Jane, Ron Perlman. Who's the guy who played, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I can't think of his name. I'm dying here. I got it. It's John Malkovich.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Thomas Jane, yeah, The Punisher, Ron Perlman, Malkovich.
All I didn't know Malkovich was in it.
All in this movie, dude. And this is loosely based off the RPG.
Wow. Yeah, looking at this gallery that Jay has a link to in the show notes for, some of it, you know, looks like Shadowrun. Some of it very plainly looks like Warhammer 40K. Especially the one picture of, like, the priest in the white robe with the hooded, armored troops he's commanding. The black and red armor, that looks like 40K straight up. There's some fantasy elements to it. Yeah, it's pretty neat stuff.
It was just, it was awesome in its day. Like I said, nobody had done it like that before. Like I said, it didn't quite take off because it was competing directly with 40K in its heyday. And, you know, that's just hard to do.
That's funny, dude. At the bottom of the link that you share, there's the movie poster for the Mutant Chronicles movie.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane, Ron Perlman, and John Malkovich. There it is.
It was, like I said, was it a great movie? No, it wasn't a great movie. But the idea's there.
Yeah.
Much like the game, it wasn't a great game. But the idea's
right
there.
Oh, and if you scroll down a little further, there's a little picture of Doom Troopers.
Oh, the Nest thing?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, yep.
See?
Good stuff.
Taking
some way back.
That is some way back.
Alrighty, well, that'll about wrap us up for this week. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me on not so much the PlayStation Network anymore, because I don't really play the PlayStation, but you can find me on Steam and Raptor under Teletech 77062.
You still there?
Yeah.
And you can find me, I guess, not so much on PlayStation either, unless I start playing Assassin's Creed with my son. You can find us on Jason, JaySynn, on Raptor and Steam.
Cool. Alrighty, guys. Thanks for tuning in and have a good one.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.